Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Hebrews. Been away from it in the Sunday school class for a while, but you'll remember this passage very, very well if you took part in that Sunday school. Chapter 9, beginning at verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Well, to most of the secular world, this is Halloween. I wonder how many people bother to find out where that word came from. Of course, it's derived from All Hallows' Eve, which gets us ready for Monday, which is the celebration of the saints. For us, we of the Protestant tradition, this is Reformation Sunday. We celebrate today and remember Martin Luther, among others, one of the most significant figures that God has raised up. When you think about that, the significance of the Reformation in the history of humanity, nothing compares. Luther was a law student who turned Augustinian monk. He disagreed with practices of the Roman Catholic Church. And so he nailed his complaints to the Wittenberg church door, and he started something he had no idea the implications of which. Scripture led him to oppose the church at Rome on issues including the primacy of the Bible over church tradition, and the means by which we are found righteous in the sight of God. And probably the most significant contribution to Christian theology through the Reformation is the idea that our own good works can by no means merit God's favor. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and good works are a result of our faith. They are not grounds for standing righteous in the sight of the Lord. It's one of the things that we can remember about Reformation Day. Our scripture lessons lead us in a whole different direction. This morning, I love this quote: "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." That was what Ruth spoke to Naomi. This little story of Ruth is almost forgotten in lectionaries, but it is a beautiful model for the Christian life, and it is also an inspiration on this Reformation Day. Think about it. Ruth was a Moabitess, a woman from Moab, looked down upon by the Jews. They would have nothing to do with them. But this Moabitess, Ruth, became the grandmother of King David. Jesus was born as a son of David. This immigrant imagine the relevance of the work of God in people's lives that the story of Ruth brings. This Gentile woman from Moab has so much to teach. The relevance of mission and family is at the center of our gospel. And it is at the center of Jesus' own heritage. So to get the setting correct, let's go back. The story of Ruth is set in the time of the judges. Moses and Joshua are gone. The great kings of Israel have not yet come. These are the in-between years of the Jewish people. They were marked by war after war. We had favorites like Samson and Gideon and Deborah and Barak who arise as heroes from the book of Judges. Yet at the end of so many of the chapters of the story of the Judges, it says, there was no king in Israel at that time, and everyone did as they saw fit in their own eyes. So Ruth and Naomi find themselves in this kind of a setting. It begins in Bethlehem, oddly enough, our story. The house of bread is what Bethlehem means. Elimelech is the husband, Naomi's husband, and there's a famine in the land. So they journey with their two sons to find food. There was a rumor that there was food in Moab. It was a forbidden land for Jews, but when you're hungry, forbidden doesn't mean much, does it? And although the marriage of God's people to Moabite women was not expressly forbidden in Jewish culture, it was certainly indicated to be a compromise of the family lineage. Ruth and Orpah would never have been allowed into the assembly of the Jews who were worshiping the Lord. But the story goes on. Elimelech dies, and before too long, his two sons die, leaving three women destitute: Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. No possibility of work or food or home. Remember, women could not inherit property. They had no place. And without a husband, they had no place in society. No possibility of finishing a degree, entering a workforce, or sharing an apartment. In those days, the world was not kind to women who were left alone. It's not a mistake that the Bible repeatedly lists widows and orphans together as people that the people of faith should look out for and care for, as those who are numbered amongst the ones that Jesus called the least of these. Naomi, being the matriarch here, she's got to make some tough decisions. First of all, she's got to get rid of these daughter-in-laws because, you know, she can't feed them and there are no prospects. So with many tears, this family is broken and splitting apart. I want to call you back to a previous sermon where I talked about how Job was assaulted by chaos in his life. It seems that this same kind of chaos is entering into the lives of Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth. Now, God took Job's chaos and brought it under control and restored to Job twice of what he lost. As we follow Ruth's story, we'll see that God brought Naomi and Ruth's situation under control as well. God works when we have commitment and faith. Ruth confesses her commitment and faith when she says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you will stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." Orpah went back to her family. But Ruth says, "No, I will cling to you. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me." Notice, already there's faith in Ruth's confession. "May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." Yeah, we celebrate the Reformation today. And one of the things that we forget about in all of the doctrinal discussions and all of the things that were going on that brought forth the Reformation and that brought forth actually the Presbyterian Church as we know it today, we forget that it was beginning with Martin Luther. It was all motivated by people who were committed to their faith, committed to their God, took it all very, very seriously. We talked about it in Sunday school class this morning that simultaneously with Luther's tacking up his thesis on the door at Wittenberg, Gutenberg had invented a printing press, and so that whatever was written and whatever was, whatever Martin Luther came up with and wrote down was suddenly just brought out to the public in a way that had never happened before. And of course, eventually the Bible became printed so that the ordinary people could read it. And you know what happened? There was a revolution called the Peasants' Revolt, because they realized that we've been held down all this time. The Bible is all about new life and about freedom, and nobody ever told us. They suddenly learned for themselves. Faith was taken so very seriously. People were committed to their faith, a kind of commitment we don't see a lot even today. And faith has a lot to do with family, doesn't it? thinking about this today, I realized that we live in an age where faith is not only passed down by families any longer. Our spiritual fathers and mothers are not necessarily our paternal and maternal parents. We live in an age where death, divorce, and distance, pandemic, have split us up, separated us. This Thanksgiving, our tables will probably reflect this reality. The people with whom we break bread and share our lives and spend our holidays, sometimes and very often, are family without sharing any bloodline. Jesus teaches this ethic in Matthew chapter 12 while pointing to his disciples and followers. He says, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." These are words of comfort to people who don't need to meet the traditional criteria. Relationship to God is not based on race, ethnicity, but instead on commitment and shared experience. That's what Ruth brings to us today as we remember the Reformation. Commitment: where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. You ever seen that kind of commitment in anybody now? Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely if even death separates you and me. That is a commitment. That's family. It is love. Ruth loves Naomi. And not only that, she has fallen in love with Naomi's God. Remember, this is a Gentile. Ruth is a Gentile. We're going to get into the rest of Ruth's story next week. You're welcome to read ahead if you want. Finish it off. It has a beautiful, beautiful ending. But remember that, you know, we've had all of this discussion on the political scene about, for example, those who are refugees, immigrants. There are many in our country, even though we are a country of immigrants, there are many who resent the immigrant. Here is an example in the Bible of an immigrant who became part of the salvation story of the whole world. And we can be proud in Virginia that we have taken in a lot of immigrants. Just lately with the Afghans being evacuated from Afghanistan, the last numbers I had as of September 15th, is Virginia alone has taken in 11,742 refugees. I don't want to get into any political debates about it, but we have in our Bible an example of an immigrant who became part of the Jewish nation, one who was an outcast and who contributed mightily to the goodness and grace that got brought to that community, to the world, for that matter. We can be glad that we are a nation of immigrants. We can applaud the contributions that people have made. But overall, I hope we'll today remember the commitment and faith of Ruth. That we can say to our God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. I will be buried in your name, and I look for the resurrection to new life when you come again. That's commitment. That's what Ruth brings us this morning. May God bless us, ordinary people, through whom God does extraordinary things. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there's nothing ordinary about any that you have made. Any have you have redeemed. All are extraordinary because you gave your only Son for their salvation. Thank you. Thank you for taking us ordinary folks and making us extraordinary in Jesus' name. And by his name we pray. Amen.